Timothy's spiritual father, and Timothy was Paul's spiritual son. So we have those kind of people in our lives. And mothers, I've got a lot of spiritual mothers. You know, there's nobody old enough to be in this building to be my mom, I don't think, but I've had some through the years. Maybe I knew I'd get a kickback on that one. But anyway, praise the Lord. Father, help us for just a little while as we enter the Word of God, get into the Word of God. And I pray this will be for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Amen. You don't have to turn your Bibles here yet anywhere. But the Word of the Lord uses Abba, Father, about three times. Mark 14, Jesus said, Abba, Father. He addressed his daddy by Abba, Father. And then in Romans 8:15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Fear is over with about you being saved, friends, if you know Abba, Father. Fear is over with about being, whether you're going to heaven or hell or not. That's settled. For you've not received, and it's a lot of religions you enter, and they live in fear to please their God all of their life. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received, listen, the spirit of adoption, the spirit of adoption, whereby we've not been brought physically and spiritually with new bodies into the home yet, but we have spiritually. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And then in Romans it says, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Now that's not necessarily all physical ailments, but the Spirit helps our infirmities. And it goes on to say, we know not what to ask for. The Spirit speaketh expressly. You know, the Spirit translates our prayer to heaven. Let me just read another verse right quick as we develop this thought just a minute, and just listen very carefully concerning Abba, Father. And then we're going to turn our attention to physical fathers. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons or daughters, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, into your hearts, crying what? Abba, Father. Now, I want you to just think about this thought for just a moment, and we'll move on. But do you realize once you're saved, the Spirit of God's Son is in you that cries, Abba, Father? You know what that literally means? You know what it has to do with Abba is in the language that Jesus spoke, and it means daddy, means father, Abba. And then you got father in the Greek language that means the Gentiles. You got the Jews saying Father, and you got the Gentiles saying Father. Abba, Father. And with the way, there's a great thought here to where Jesus said, Abba, Father. He's saying, I'm your father. You was my father before you became my father. You was my father in eternity. And now you're my father in the flesh. I may be going out on a limb there, but it's a double thing. It's out, and the whole thing of it is, the bottom line is, the Spirit of God, the Son of God, is in us to cry out, Daddy, Daddy. And in the Mark, when he was crying out to his father, said, "Daddy, Daddy." The idea is please, Daddy, please, Daddy, Daddy. Have you growing up as kids, you're an adult, and then your children, your grandchildren, sometimes say, "Daddy, Daddy." Do you understand that his ready to hear God? Something I ran into last night, and it was a blessing. It wasn't a crash, but it was a blessing. And I thought I'd share that with you. Now, in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 8, I'm going to give you some scriptures that has to do, and when it's we say son, it could also be daughter, and when we say father, it could also be mother, but because of the day that it is, we're emphasizing the matter of father and son. And it speaks this so in Proverbs chapter 1 and in verse 8. "My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother." Hear the instructions of a father. You don't have to turn here, but in Proverbs 15:20, "A wise son maketh a glad father." 17:21, "The father of a fool hath no joy." Father of a fool. Proverbs 17:25, "A foolish son is a grief to his father." 19:13, "A foolish son is the calamity of his father." 19:26, "He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach." 20:20, "Whoso curses his father and his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. God will knock his lights out." 28 verse 7, "He that is a companion of righteous men shameth his father." 28:24, "Whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith, it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer." And you know who that foolish son, what he does? He destroys the life of the father and the mother. He destroys their lives on the inside. Proverbs 30, you can read this later. In 30, I wish you'd read the whole Proverbs 30, but "There is a generation that curseth their father and does not bless their mother." Every one of those was negative. There's a negative response by the son to the father. I'm really concerned, and it really bothers me to see a son that does not respect his father. I just mean, I don't care if you got the meanest father on the face of the earth. You need to respect your father. There's some positive. 10 verse 1, "A wise son," we talked about a foolish son, "he that begetteth a fool." He that begetteth a fool, that means from the time that kid's born, he's going to be turned out to be a fool. He that begetteth a fool. Okay, you may not believe that. 29 verse 3, "Whoso loveth wisdom, whoso loves wisdom rejoices his father. But he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance." There's some other scriptures. I don't know if I wrote them down or not. Yeah, I got them here. Well, first of all, let me say this. What determines whether a father has been a success or not? What determines whether a father has been a successful father? By the way, Charlie and I were talking yesterday here. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that later. It's really something of how we got the same thought pattern. Yes, Chris, it could be a lot better than mine. You might all listen to it. I don't know if they've taken it or not. But what determines a father? What determines whether a father's been successful? Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 20. And you can look in verse number 11. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. I don't know. And if we get into this a little further, I just believe all of us are born sinners. But I'm going to tell you what, there's some kid that's born wicked. That bothers me. That scares me to death. Derek had some wonderful words to say about how fathers, you know, when they're little, the guys at work, and mama's raised the kids, changing the diapers, doing all that, cooking, cleaning. If you've got a woman that's keeping your house, doing your cooking, you ought to be thankful for that. But then there's something I went through personally through my life, like I'm just fancy free, trying to make a living out there doing it. And then all of a sudden, the weight of 9 kids just came down on me so hard as they got older. Almost, to me, was physically unbearable. And I love every one of my kids. I'm proud of them all. But a weight came on me, a burden that I never had before, that I never had. I don't know how it was you guys. I don't know, but that's the way it is with me. And I live with it every day. Every day. Every day. Proverbs 20:11. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. 22:6. People use this verse. I think I got the right verse here. Yeah, it is. Train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart. It sounds like that I've contradicted myself. Now, you ask yourself this question with your children. If you've done the best you can do to train them up right, but are they doing right now? That's your business. I don't know. I got my family to deal with. And I love your children. I love them all. They're like mine. These kids, well, that was grandkids. But I mean, all you, that right down there, wherever she is, she's asleep. Okay. She's just like mine. That's okay. I mean, you know, I'm pastor daddy, pastor grandpa, whatever. You try and do the best you can. You've done everything you know to do. You've prayed. You've burdened. You've prayed and prayed and tried to teach them right. But what are they doing now? And it says, when they're old, they'll not depart. And I had a man just try to guarantee me. He almost got real ill at me because I said, they may never get saved. Maybe they will. Maybe they will. I don't know. What does that mean? They won't depart. Don't depart from what? Don't depart from how they're raised. I can take you, if I can remember, the place over in Georgia on the high mountain. You're looking over a big lake, most beautiful, beautiful scene you've ever seen. I believe it was Gainesville up in there somewhere. And there's a fellow there that said his daddy was a preacher or whatever, and now he's a drunk, and his daddy sold that property for what he thought was a lot of money, and then the man turned around and bought it from him, that sold it and sold it again and made about 50 times more than what he gave his daddy. Because his daddy didn't know the value of the property. And he laughed. He said, my daddy was a preacher, but I'm whatever. He just fill in the blank. And he said, my daddy knew what I was doing. He'd turn over in his grave. I don't know if that fellow ever got saved or not. I'm going to tell you what. You do a danger to your children to tell them they're all right with God. That's just between them and God. You do a danger telling a child that's a teenager or a young person now, and reflect back to the time they got come to the altar and got baptized, and they you say, well, you got saved when you was young. You better be careful with that. I read, I believe it was Weist Word Studies, one of my commentaries last night I was reading, and there was the author of that commentary was traveled to about 100 mission stations and over in India and some different places in China, and he went by those mission stations and they had hospitals built, they had schools built, they were dressed in, you know, like school uniforms, all the kids, and he noticed and they said, well, what do you think about our mission work? And he said, well, everything's good. You got a hospital, you got your feet, you know, you got a school and everything just polished and all. He said, but one thing I noticed they did every morning is they said the Lord's Prayer. They recited the Lord's Prayer, which is good. But he said, you're sending these kids out thinking they're saved just because they recited the Lord's Prayer. And let me tell you what's happened. He said, the kids that went to school here through the years right now are the leaders in Red China. They never got saved. Hey, he's a good boy. He's a good boy. Oh, he's a good boy. I know the boy that hated my guts. And he probably, I don't know if he still does, but he hated my guts. And his dad said, he's a good boy. He's a good boy. I want to say, your boy's a fool. Because he hates the preacher. If I shouldn't love me, but I'm going to tell you what. That's the preacher. I mean, something pretty strong on me. So let's live in the real world. Let's call black, black, and white, white. I mean, let's speak the truth in love. Now, I think it's deeper on this may turn into, I've got enough preaching to preach 10 more years on Father's Day. And I'm not going to do it today because I got one little boy back there. If I said something about having a lot of notes last Sunday, and he looked at his mom and says, my goodness, I'm hungry. You hungry? I believe it has more to do, the success of a father has more to do than how his children turn out. And you say, you know, I'm not comparing my kids, your kids, or nobody's kids. I'm talking about generalities. What about Samuel, the first prophet? His boys turned out to be sorry connivers, stealers, corruptors. Samuel, the first prophet. I think it has something to do deeper that determines a father's success other than how his kids turn out. We've done read those proverbs. We've done read them. But yet as a fool, have no rest or no joy. You know what Dr. John Green told me? He said children will squeeze every bit of the joy out of your life. Do they mean to? I don't know. I don't think kids that are in that living that way, I don't think they've got it in mind. Let me see how I can hurt my daddy and mom. Maybe they don't. If they call him the old man, you better watch that. But my old lady, I want to consider two people in the Bible, Adam and Job, quickly. As quickly as I can do it. I was growing up watching some old TV shows which were decent TV shows. Decent. Does anybody remember Father Knows Best? It showed a picture of a non-reality, right? The house was always perfect. The wife was dressed like a lady. She always had the meals ready. Her daddy come in from work, and the children were perfect children. That's not a true picture of what family is. But I'm going to tell you what. It beats showing one of them with earrings in his ear and turned out to be not loving girls, and then you know, super blended families or whatever, not even knowing who their daddies and mamas are. And that's what's going on right now in Hollywood. I'd rather watch Fathers Know Best and see an example of how family ought to be. Give me something to look at and say, that's the way its home should be. Guess what? Charlie's preaching on the same subject, Father Knows Best. Who just got in? I mentioned that TV show yesterday. He said, that's what I'm preaching on. I said, you can go in my study right now. You can look at my notes, and right there, I've got Father Knows Best. How'd that happen? I guess it just happens. Probably happened more than once with all preachers. TV has been used to destroy the biblical family. In the very beginning, I mean, just slowly, 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 slowly. Now, I'm not preaching against TV. I'm just preaching you a foul television. You remember Lucille Ball, Ricky Arnaz, Diaz, whatever his name is. They slept in separate beds. Y'all remember that? I mean, you're not. I'm not going to say you're carnal if you watched I Love Lucy. My wife's grandma watched it every day. And my mama watched soap operas. There's a big difference. God bless my mother's soul. Adam worked. If there's ever been a man that sweated it out, it was Adam. All right. Okay, said Eve. We messed up, Eve. You know, I should have never listened to you, but I did. I see him with my eyes wide open, and you were deceived. Can't blame Eve. I tell you what, fathers don't need to be blaming their wives, their mothers and wives. Adam messed up. He said, Eve, we got to leave. Here's what the New Bible says. I mean, New Version. I guess it says this. There's one out there that'll diminish the seriousness of Adam. We got to leave, Eve. I tell you what. I'm going to load the truck. Put a trailer on it. We'll get everything together. We'll get all the tools. We're going to get some seed. We got to go. God said we got to go. We'll just find out. The Bible says that God drove them out. What does drive mean? We get a cow trying to get on the trailer that don't want to go. You know what we do to it, don't you? What's up? What's up? A shocker on the glass that jump off that. We're not mean to our cows. We just love it so much that we're going to sell it. God drove them out. Jesus drove out those people that were turning his house into a trade day. He drove them out. You know why he did that? Listen, if they would have lived forever and never been able to be saved. Here's what he had to do. Save them. And you know what? The Bible don't say Adam was saved. It don't say Eve was saved. I'm supposing they were. They carried on a sacrificial system. We don't think this. I'm saying they were. I believe it. No, I don't know that. I don't want to get up. Oh, if you get up, sir, that's what they all know if I may. We don't want to get up. You know, the Bible starts Hebrews chapter 11 with the people of faith that are found in the saved. But, I mean, that he ain't saved. I don't. This concerns me. But you see, Adam worked, Sister Patterson. If I remember correctly, you can correct me on this openly if I'm wrong. But your father-in-law, they lived down Young Chapel Road down there. Someone was it on the left from San Antonio? You know what he did? You know what I'm saying?
He walked from there to John that saw me to know. This is the step that we could do it in. You look at the dog down there. First of all, there's dog back there. He walked. I met another man somewhere on Brindley Mountain or somewhere, and he swore that his daddy walked 6 miles to work every day. Hope loved him. All played Hope's Love High School. Hey, you know, I walked. I just went to school one day. My daddy was an old schooler. Rode the bus. God, I got it in big school that day, so I just walked back home. Then they said, why aren't you in school? What are you doing? Daddy, I'll find in the team, but I guess he's in the team. I wish I'd have had your daddy. I'd have walked off with that. Talk about words. Adam, words. He sweated it out. He lived with the memories of the curse for the rest of his life. Worth that he worshiped. He had a wife who was right beside him. Walked with him. They had other children. They had one dead. You know the story. You know Cain's neighbor. You know that story. Cain was of that wickedness. Wherefore slew he his brother? Because his own deeds were evil, and his brothers were right. It's the first mention of hate in the Bible. It's directly correspondence with the Word of God that says it identifies us as the family of God if we love one another. He hated this guy. He was the first one guilty of hate murder. Let me let you in on this one. This is very crude. It's all that wickedness. He slew. This verb only occurs only in God. This the way it's wrote in the rich occurs only to John. Outside of the apocalypse. Revelation. Originally, to slay. Listen, he did this to his brother. Originally. To slay by cutting his throat. So when holiness, that great idiot here, or consent, that, referring to it, Homer said, a cat. He said, the suitor train who slays the swabs and slow pack paced beasts with crooked horns to slaughter victims for sacrifice. Backward they turned the necks of the fat beeves and cut their throats and filleted the carcasses. Why? His brother might have been taking a nap when he was watching the sheep flock. And Cain comes home to him. That is true. The Bible says he was of that wicked one. Now, see where I got to here. He was of that wicked one. I'll just go by memory. What does of mean? I want you to understand that God had one disciple. Said he was a devil from the beginning. The Bible says that the devil entered into him. Judas betrayed the Son of God. There's great commentary on this thought, and I don't believe this thought, but they said the thought is he was of that wicked one. Which means the devil was his daddy. And I don't believe that more than nothing in the world. It says they beget. The Bible clearly says that Adam and Eve are Cain, not the devil. But there's just something about Cain that actually
corresponds to the verse we read in Proverbs.
Hurts of bad blood. We all got the cancer. Hurts of the apple don't fall far from the tree.
I preached a while back on that. You can be different. If you were raised with a bad family, you can be good. That's your choice. But I'm zeroing in on some children are just wicked. And it's not their daddy's fault. Maybe sometimes it is. I was over in Georgia working and was at a client's house and the man there, and he had some grown sons, and I didn't see no mama nowhere around, and I could hear them talking on the phone, and they were lining up things, and they come in and reported their daddy, so we got it all lined up. They were meeting a bunch of women with their daddy. That's wicked. Them boys didn't have to do like their daddy. Or did they? They didn't, but they did. He and his wife, it stood with him, he worshiped. After God clothed them with animal skins, and there was blood, Adam and Eve, they made that sacrifice. And I want you to understand that that's where they got their clothes. What? Thanks to the way that we did after Noah. Noah said, look, all these times we've been killing these animals, wearing their clothes, and now we're beef. And learned about T-bones. Can't you see? Terry, please, I need a new dress, Terry. Well, let me go out there and size one up for you. Adam continued the sacrifice, and his son rebelled against it. His daddy tried to teach him right, and he worshiped himself and his work. Rather than he was a rebel against God. And he cut his brother's throat. They worshiped. They went out into the wild, into the wilderness. But Adam had a will. And let me tell you, he pushed on forward. He kept going. He didn't stop it. He didn't say, we've done had one son run from home and now we got a son he's killed and we're not having no more kids. But they did. They obeyed the word of God to replenish the earth and to multiply. And they had Seth, and then they had a bunch more kids. He was willing to carry on. He didn't give up. We can't give up, daddies. We can't give up. Granddaddies, we can't get up. I've got responsibility. I know Robert agrees with this. I've got responsibility for these kids. I know you do. You're the primary responsibility, but don't you think I ain't right behind you, son? I've got responsibility. I'll die with responsibility whether I assume that responsibility or not. I'll die with that responsibility. Adam kept going. What about Job? Well, Job was a good man. Look at Job.
Good time. Should not have had difficulties. Right at the beginning. You know, I get tired of bad about Job. I just get tired of hearing people talk bad about stuff. I have to,
I ain't had no trouble.
There. One verse one, there was a man in the land of Oz. His name is Job. The man was what? They say that word means mature. The Bible says.
Then I know he was not without sin, but he was a perfect man. Take it either way you want it. and upright, he stood his ground. He stood up, and one that feared God. A lot of rich men don't ever fear God. They become their own God. And eschewed evil. Eschewed, seen evil coming, he'd push it back and move on. That was a great man. That's a great testimony. You know any people like that? I got some people in my life that I believe is like that. I got some fathers of the faith that I believe is similar to Job. But you know the story. You know the absolute story. He had a fear. He had a family. He lost everything he had. They joke about it. They say he lost everything he had but his wife. No. She said, curse God and die, Job. Everything was going bad. And in verse 18, while he was yet speaking, see, a servant come and told him he lost his cows, his crops, and everything else. And that hits him the hardest. Verse 18, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and look, eating and what? What? Drinking wine. In their eldest brother's house. Behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. It fell upon the young men, and they're dead. And the girls got killed too now. And they're dead, and I only can escape till the... He raised those kids right. And every one of them died in a drunken party. What else can, I mean, take my riches, take my lands, take everything else, but please don't take my children. Something that's helped me and Kathy through the years, if we've ever had a disagreement. You'll never know. I said, Kathy, do you know that God could hurt our children? If we don't stay together and live right and do right and be in harmony together. I have that fear that God will take something out on my kids because the way I might live or don't live. Now, look in chapter 3 and verse 25. Here's what Job said. Remember it said he feared God. Verse 25, for the thing which I greatly, what? Feared is come upon me. That which I was afraid of is coming to me. Derek, you said it right. We don't ever stop being afraid for our kids. And the thing that turned out that he feared, not his cattle, not his land, but his children. One of the greatest men in the Bible was Job, and he lost every one of his kids. But you know what he did? He kept going. He kept going. Let's just look at the end of the book. All the way at the end, chapter 42. He kept going. You know what? Let me state it again. What tells me if a father has been successful is not how his kids turns out, but if he just keeps going, continues. Don't stop. Keep going. Continue. Carry on. Push on. Go 42:12. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels. Think about how much water them things drink, 50 to 100 gallons of water a day, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. He also had 7 sons, 3 daughters. He had a new beginner, a fresh start. And he called the name of the first Jemima. That's where we got Aunt Jemima Searle. That's a joke. That's a joke. And the name of the second, Keziah, and the name of the third, Karen Hapak. There's a meaning in every one of these names. I used to know it, but you can find it for yourself. I forgot. There's a wonderful meaning. And look at these girls. Isn't it significant that he mentioned the girls and not the seven sons? I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know why. I love my sons and I love my daughters. I love my sons and we understand that and we have a relationship, but I don't ever go up to one of them, hug them, and kiss them. But I do my daughters, whether they want to or not. I'll kiss them on the cheek and hug them. Oh, I'll pat. Hey, good. All right. Hey, good buddy. Hey, good dude. All my girls. In all the land, there were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. That was unheard of. After this lived Job in 100 and after this. You might have just seen this for the first time. It says, and after this. After what? After all that's happened. After this, Job lived in 140. You know what he did? He kept going. And saw his sons. His sons' sons, even four generations, from Job died being an old man, and fourth day. What a wonder. He didn't stop. He carried on. I think sometimes a father can say, I'm never, ever going to be. You think Job was happy about this? He had a double barrel. He could probably have an automatic defensive lift ramp. Don't turn out like old cat. Father, have your way. Thank you for our fathers, mothers, grandfathers. Thank you for our children. Lord, they face a hard road to hoe. And I pray we'll help them by being an example to them. The work, life, and the life, the worship, and to be willing to carry on even in hard times, says the Lord, I pray. You may want to come and pray for whatever reason. Would you do that while the instrument begins?